our holding on Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. We talked about the roasting of the Korban Pesach, which is a prerequisite for eating it. So now, pretty much this whole perek is going to be talking about the dinim of eating the Korban Pesach. Now, we learned before the Korban Pesach is one of the few korbanos that can be brought b'tumah. Even now, and b'tumah, actually, there can be a few possibilities. It can be that most of the tzibur is tamei. It can be that most of the kohenim are tamei. It can also be that most of the clay shoreis are tamei. In all those cases, we said there were a few korbanos tzibur actually, and we're going to list them. We're going to list in our Mishnah that there are korban that in general that there are korbanos that are brought b'tumah, but only the korban pesach among them can also be eaten b'tumah, which is unique among korbanos. So we're going to get into that by way of introducing first the other korbanos which can be brought b'tumah but can't be eaten b'tumah. So the Mishnah says chamisha dvarim boim b'tumah ve'ein ne'echolim b'tumah. There are five korbanos that can be brought b'tumah, again, with any of these kinds of tumah, whether the tzibur is tameh, whether the kohenim are tameh, whether the clay shoreis are tameh, you're allowed to bring them, ve'ein ne'echolim b'tumah, but you're not allowed to eat them b'tumah. So therefore, so you bring the korbanos and they accomplish what they need to, but then you would have to burn them. Now, we're focusing only on korbanos where parts of it are going to be eaten. So we're not going to mention, for example, the korban tamid and so forth, which the korban tamid is all burnt. It's an oilah. So therefore, there's no reason to mention it. We're going to focus on korbanos that are actually eaten. So they are ha'oimer, number one, the korban ha'oimer, u'shtei alechem, the shtei alechem of Shavuos, the lechem aponim, the lechem aponim from every Shabbos, the zivchei shalmei tzibur, the shalmei tzibur, which are brought together with the shtei alechem. So they're being listed here separately. They're being listed here separately. The truth is, Yerushalmi actually talks about why should we be listing them separately if they're kind of interdependent. But anyway, the point is, there's the shtei alechem themselves, which are not actually offered on the mizbeach. They just wave them together with the shalmei tzibur, and then they distribute them among the kohenim because the shtei alechem are chometz. You don't bring chometz on the mizbeach. And then you have the shalmei tzibur, which are shlomim that are brought on behalf of the tzibur, unlike a regular shlomim, which are kodshim kalim. These are kodshe kodshim, so they have to be shechted in the north. They can only be eaten by the male kohenim, etc., etc. And so again, we're saying that they can be brought b'tumah for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara, but they can't be eaten b'tumah, because with all of these korbanos, what it is, it's true there's a mitzvah to eat them, but the eating of them is not really an essential part of the korban. It's sort of a side thing. We had before the concept, kohenim ochlum, abayelim miskafim, the kohenim eat the korban, and that finishes off the kapara, but it's not really essential for the kapara. So even if they can't eat it because they're tameh, then fine. I mean, the korban has still been brought, the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, the shtei alechem were waved, etc., and therefore that accomplished what it needed to do. So all of those, and the fifth one is a seirei Rosh Chodashim. The fifth one is the goats that are brought on Rosh Chodashim, where we say in the laning on Rosh Chodesh, and also and in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we mention that there's seven sheep as an ola, etc., and then seir and then sor l'chatas. There's one sir that's brought to the chatas, and like any other, like most other chatos, it's eaten. So this one, again, if they bring it, the tumah, they still don't eat it. This is the famous thing where in Parshas Shmini, when Elazar and Issamar burnt one of the se'irim that was brought that day, and Moshe was upset about it. And it turned out, so one of the possibilities was that it did become tameh, and in that case, then it would be an example of this. In the end, the Rashi explains over there on the Pesukim, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, that what happened was that Aaron pointed out that even if we're allowed to be makriv as onanim, Nadav and Abihu having died, we're still not allowed to eat it. Kodesh Shah, the things that are brought as a one-time thing, like the korbanos of the miluim and the korbanos of Nachshon, maybe, but not the korban of Rosh Chodesh. Okay. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Pesach shabob b'tumah nechol b'tumah. On the other hand, the korban Pesach not only can be brought b'tumah, but if it was, it's eaten b'tumah as well. Even though you can't eat, it's kodshim. Since when can you eat kodshim b'tumah? But the Pesach is an exception. Shaloi b'mitchilose elalachila. Because the whole purpose the korban Pesach is brought for to begin with is that it should be eaten. So therefore, when the pasuk is implying that you can bring it b'tumah, and we learned in the previous parak, we said we had a gzeira shava between the korban tamid and the korban Pesach, where we said we had a pasuk telling us the korban tamid is brought even on Shabbos, and we learned from that by gzeira shava to the korban Pesach, and then we said the other way around that the korban Pesach is doicha truma b'tzibur. We learned from various psukim over there. We said from ish, only an individual is nidcha, not the tzibur, etc. We had a whole discussion about it, and then we learned by exeir shava from that the same thing applies to the tamid and to other korbanos tzibur. But when it comes to eating it, the korban pesach is different. You can eat it b'truma; the other ones you can't. Okay. So the Gemara asks, chamisha l'mo'ute mai. Now, why did the Mishnah have to start with a number? The Mishnah is telling us a list of things, but it doesn't have to tell us a number. We can count them ourselves. It could have said Eilu Necholin Betruma. It could have just said Korbanos Tzibur Boin Betruma. Why the number 5? So evidently that number is coming to exclude something. You would have thought to exclude us, to include a 6th one, and the Mishnah is telling you, no, only these 5. Meaning, because sometimes you have like this. Sometimes the Mishnah will give us a list of things, and the Gemara will say on it, Ton of the Shire. Yes, we have a list, but actually the list is not meant to be exhaustive. There are other ones that are not included, that there are other ones which the Mishnah, which the Tana didn't bother to list. But when it has a number like this, then it means it's not like that, it means it must be that number. So what are we coming to exclude? The answer is Lama'odi Chagigas Hamisha Aser. We're coming to exclude the Chagiga that's brought on the 15th of Nisan, or for that matter, the Chagiga of any other Yom Tov. Now, we learned in the previous parak about the Chagigas Abba Aser, the special Chagiga that usually accompanies the Korban Pesach, with the purpose that the Pesach should be eaten ala soiva, that you should fill up on the Korban Pesach. That for sure we're not talking about. There's no Hava Amina to say that one should be Deucha Tumma. We said right there in the Mishnah that it's not Deucha Tumma, it's not Deucha Shabbos, etc. But the Chagigas Chamisha also, the regular Korban Chagiga that you have to bring on every Yom Tov, you would think that maybe the Safadad Hamina, you would think, says the Gemara, Kiven de Korban Sibuhu, since it is a Korban Sibur, now it's not really a Korban Sibur in the sense it's brought individually by every Yid. But the Korban Pesach is the same way. And the Gemara, the Rashi refers to a Gemara in Yoma that calls such a thing when all the Jewish people are bringing a Korban, even though it's an individual Korban, but they're all bringing it at the same time. It's called, they're bringing it B'knufya, they're bringing it in a large group. So therefore, it's considered to that extent a Korban Sibur. So it is a Korban Sibur, or Kviya Leimoyed, and it has a fixed time, because you have to bring it on Yom Tov. So you would think, Tidchi Tumah. You would think then that should be Deucha Tumah. You should be able to bring it, even if the Tzibur is Tumah. Therefore, the Mishnah has to say the number 5 to tell us not like that. Kamash Malon. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us not. Kiven de Islay Tashlumin Kol Shiva, because since the Korban Chagiga, you don't have to bring it on the first day of Yom Tov. If you don't bring it on the first day, you can bring it the second day, the third day, etc. You have the entire 7 days of Yom Tov, or in the case of Pesach, you have the 7 days. In the case of Sukkot, you have 8 days, because you have Shmini Atzeres as well. In the case of Shavuos, you have the 1 day of Shavuos, and then you have 6 weekdays after that, which is why we have the minhag not to say Tachnun during the 5 days after Shavuos until Yud Beis Zivin. So since it has Tashlumin, Kol Shiva, Loi Dach Yeshabbos, therefore it doesn't push off Shabbos, because you don't have to bring it, if the 15th, if the first day Yom Tov is Shabbos, you can't bring it that day. Instead, you have all the other 6 days of Yom Tov to bring it. And Umid Shabbos, Loi Dachya, since it's not Deucha Shabbos, Loi Dachya Tumah, therefore it's not Deucha Tumah either. Because before we said, as far as the Tumid, as far as the Korban Pesach, that only things that are Deucha Shabbos are also Deucha Tumah, because of that Zeder Shabbos. So here, the Korban Chagiga, the Mishnah, the Tana of the Mishnah wants to inform us, don't think that the Korban Chagiga is also a Korban Sibur and it's also Kabur Leizman. No, it's not considered Kabur Leizman, because it's not Deucha Shabbos, and therefore it's not Deucha Tumah either. Tosfos has a different girsa over here without the part about that it has Tashlumin Kol Shiva. Tosfos says it doesn't really matter the fact that it has Tashlumin Kol Shiva. The bottom line is that it's not Deucha Shabbos. We learned in the previous perek, we learned from Sukkim over there, Chagoseh Vayseh Chag LaHashem Shivas Yamin Vashana, that we said there's a maximum of 7 days during Sukkot when you can bring it, and we said Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres is 8 days, so that implies you don't bring it on Shabbos. So already, from that, we know that's not Deucha Shabbos. Never mind the fact that whether it has Tashlumin or not. So from that alone, we know it's not Deucha Shabbos, and therefore, it's not Deucha Tumah. In fact, Tosfos says, actually, after all, it's the other way around. The Korban Pesach has Tashlumin. You don't bring the Korban Pesach on your Dalet Nisan. You bring it a month later, your Dalet Iyar, and we still say that it's Deucha Tumah. So therefore, so we see that it has nothing to do with the fact that it has Tashlumin. It has to do with the fact that it's not Deucha Shabbos, whereas the Korban Pesach is. Okay. So the question is, the Gemara asks, "V'nisni nami si'irei harigolim." Why doesn't the Mishnah mention also the goats for achatas that are brought on every yomtiv? The same way as we said that you have a goat on every Rosh Chodesh that they bring as a korban. The same way they have a goat that they bring as a achatas on every yomtiv as well. Every yomtiv, when we say Musaf, we say the Sori L'chaper. I'm sure we say Shnei Sidim L'chaper. Okay, because we have one that comes together with Shnei Lechem, but never mind that one. The point is that every yomtiv you have a Sori, every day of yomtiv you have a Sori L'chaper. So why aren't we listing that? The answer is Hotanle Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. We don't need to. The Mishnah already mentioned the Shalmei Tzibur, and which is something. Now the Omer and the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim. Fine, those don't involve blood going on the Mizbeach. Those are various types of Korbanos Mincha. So therefore, fine, you can't say that those include the Sirei Haregolim. But once you mention Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, it's true there are different types of korban. There are shlomim, whereas here we're talking about a chakas. But it's still the same basic idea. In other words, that once we say that there are korbanos tzibur, such as the Shalmei Tzibur, that can be brought to Truma, then automatically that includes all the other korbanos tzibur, which are eaten as well, which includes all the hatois from all the young turkey. So the question is, Yehochi Siri Rosh Chodeshim Nami Ben Yisni. Well, then don't list the Sirim of Rosh Chodesh either. Da'atani Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. After all, same thing. Once it mentions the Shalmei Tzibur, then it automatically includes those. Amri, so they answered, the Yeshivalite answered, no. Sirei Rosh Chodeshim Itzirichalei. There is a Chiddush that we need to mention the goats that are brought on Rosh Chodesh. We wouldn't have known them otherwise from the other ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So once, we're going to explain why, but in other words, the point is, once the Mishnah tells us one korban that's brought on a Yom Tov, then automatically we know it includes all the other ones. But it has to mention the Sirei Rosh Chodeshim, otherwise we wouldn't have known that from the other ones. Why not? Sakadai Dechamina, because you would have thought, Holek Sibahu Moyed. After all, Rosh Chodesh is not called a Moyed. Now, when do we say the korbanos tzibur are doicha Shabbos and they're doicha Tuma? We learn it from the word moyed, as we're gonna have soon in the Gemara. Now here, by the way, Tosfos points out earlier when we had the story of Hillel and Bnei Deseira and the discussion of how we know that the Pesach is doicha Shabbos. So Hillel had shown it from a gzeira shava on the word b'moyed. We said the Gemara said so. Tosfos explained over there that actually what it is Hillel doesn't necessarily hold, and the Bnei Deseira don't necessarily hold that the word b'moyed all by itself means that it's doicha Shabbos. Therefore, they needed the gzeira shava. Therefore, we needed to know from the psukim themselves directly in the psukim that the tamid is doicha Shabbos, because the pasuk tells us you bring the musaf on Shabbos besides for the korban tamid. So therefore, we see that tamid is doicha Shabbos, and the gzeira shava teaches us the same thing applies to a Pesach. Our Gemara rather is taking the view that you can learn directly from the word moyed itself that it has to be b'moyadoi. That therefore it means that, as we're going to say soon, it means that you do it even on Shabbos. But now, on the face of it, Rosh Chodesh is not called a Moyed, so you would think it's not included. Now, Tosfos point. Now, what it is like this. You have two places in the Torah, well, you have more than two places, but the two that we're dealing with right now are, you have in Parshas Emor, the Torah lists all the Yom Tovim. It starts with, first it mentions Shabbos, then it goes, and then it starts talking about Pesach, then the talks about Pesach, the Korban Omer, Shavuos, and the Shtei Alechem, Sukkos, and Shmini Atzeres. Rosh Chodesh is not mentioned over there. And at the end, it says, Vaidaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Now, in Parashas Pinchas, it repeats about all the Korbanos. And it starts with the Korban Tomid, and then it continues with the Korbanos of Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, and the Yom Tovim. But the fact of the matter is, now over there, it does finish off, Eilat Tassu L'Hashem v'Moyadeichem. But b'moyadeichem obviously can't be referring to Rosh Chodesh over there, because we see before that you have the Tomid and Shabbos, and we're going to see soon that you need a separate pasuk to tell us that the Tomid and the Korbanos of Shabbos are Doicha Tuma. So therefore, obviously, the word Eila Tasu Lashem b'moyadeichem, the word Moyadeichem over there has to mean Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres, not Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh on the face of it is not called a Moyad. So therefore, you would think maybe it's Korbanos are not Doicha Shabbos. Kamash Malan, that is why the Tana of our Mishnah has to tell us that yes, the Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh are Doicha Tuma, Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Tuma, to Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moyed. As a matter of fact, yes, Rosh Chodesh is in fact called a Moyed. Where do we see Rosh Chodesh is called a Moyed? Kida Abaya, as Abaya says, the Omer Abaya. Now, the context that Abaya is talking about like this. The Gemara tells us that five sad things in Jewish history happen on Tisha B'Av, and the first one of them is that the Meraglim returned and all the Jewish people were crying that night, and you have the famous thing that the Gemara says, the Eved Shtah said, you cried for nothing on this night, and therefore you're going to have a Bechir L'Doros. Now the Gemara explains over there, based on analysis of the Pesukim, that the Meraglim were sent out on the 29th of Sivan. Now, let's figure out. So the 29th and 30th of Sivan, so you have 2 days, then you have In a regular year, you have 29 days of Tammuz. So far, that brings you to 31. Then you have another 9 days needed to bring up to 40. We know the Meraglim returned after 40 days. So that would mean when the Pasuk says they cried that night, that would mean the night after Tisha B'Av. That doesn't work. The whole point is we have to say that it was the night going into Tisha B'Av. So therefore, Abaya says, Tammuz dahai shata malyuye malyua. That the Tammuz of that year, based in, decided, the Sanhedrin, when they were Kaveh of the Chodesh, they decided that that Tammuz should consist of 30 days. So therefore, that gives us an extra day to work with. So yeah, the Meraglim returned on Ches Av, and that night everybody was crying. Dichtiv, as we find the Pasuk in Eicha, Kara Olai Moed, the Eivishter called upon me, a Moed, Lishbar Bachurai, that my young men should be broken. In other words, we're understanding the Pasuk is saying the Eivishter arranged that the Beis Din down here on earth should have the idea to make Tammuz one extra day, to make it 30 days that year instead of 29, in order that it should come out, Vashgaha Pratis, that the day the Meraglim return will be Ches Av, and the night when they cry will be Tisha B'Av. And the purpose of that was in order to make it that now it's a Bechiyah L'Doros. So we see, in other words, that Rosh Chodesh in that context is being called Moyed. So we see, therefore, that the 30th day is being called Moed. By the way, I mean, we do actually have the fact that on the simple meaning of the Pasuk, the word Moed does refer to Tisha B'Av, and we have some halachas that we learn out from that. For example, the fact that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av is based on the fact that the Pasuk calls it a Moed. But the Gemara over here is understanding that the word Moed actually refers to the Rosh Chodesh that was made an extra day back in that first year, in the year of the Meraglim, in order that it should come out the day on Bechir L'Doros. So we see, therefore, that Rosh Chodesh is called Moed. Now, of course,
it may be called Moed, just that year. Who says it applies to the Doros?
Once we see that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, then we can use that. In fact, I mean, Maharsha points out, anyway, the question is, in general, we say you can't learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. Eicha is not part of the five Chumashim. How can we learn a din from it? So he says it's not really so much that we're learning a din. We know the Pasuk is telling us that we're going to have now, Vaydaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem. We need to know what's included in the Moyadim. This Pasuk in Eicha is a Gili Milsav Alma. It informs us, you should know that Rosh Chodesh we also find where it's called a Moyad. Once it applies to that, then we can say the fact that the Pasuk tells us, Vaydaber, the Pasuk in Chumash tells us, Vaydaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem, means therefore it includes Rosh Chodesh as well. Because of that Gili Milsa. So yes, so to answer your question, same idea. In other words, once we see that one Rosh Chodesh in history is called a Moed, then we see that in general, the word Moed can be applied to Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So now the question is, the Memra de Kulami Moed Osu. So you're telling me then that all of these things that we say in the Mishnah, all these five Korbanos that we say that can be brought to Tumah, we're learning them all from the word Moed. Minahani Nili. Well, where are we getting that from? So like this, the Tonin Abonim, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says at the end of the Parashas HaMoyadeis and Parashas Emor, it says, Vaydaber Moshe es Moyadei Hashem. It says, Moshe spoke the Moyadim of Hashem. So, Ma Talmud Loimar, what is being added by that Pasuk? At the beginning of that Parasha, it says, Vaydaber Hashem HaMoshe Loimar, Daber of Bnei Yisrael, and tell them about the Yom Tovim. Of course, every time the Eved gives a mitzvah to Moshe, he tells it over. So why does the Pasuk have to specifically tell us that Moshe told it over? So like this, so far, the limud that we had in the previous perek, we only learned about the korban tamid and the korban pesach, whereby both of them it says the word b'moyadoi, and we learn therefore that means b'moyadoi v'afilu b'shabbos, b'moyadoi v'afilu b'tumah. The word b'moyadoi in its time means it has to be brought in its time no matter what, even if its time comes out on Shabbos, even if its time comes out when there's tumah. But now, by the way, again, this, as Tosfos pointed out before, this is different than the limud that Hillel used for Bnei B'Seira. When he was discussing it with Bnei B'Seira, he used a Zera Shava for this. But because, in other words, the word b'moyadai all by itself, according to that way of looking at it, doesn't automatically mean that it has to be on Shabbos. But here the Gemara is going according to a different opinion that, yes, the word b'moyadai all by itself means that it takes place on Shabbos and that it's zeicha tumah. So that applies to the Talmud and the Pesach. Shar korbanos tzibur minayin. How would we know that applies to the other korbanos tzibur? So shenema, because the pasuk says at the end of Pinchas, at the end of the description of the korbanos in Parshas Pinchas, it says eva tasu la Hashem b'moyadechem. It says these you should do for Hashem in your moyadim. So again, in other words, we see that it mentions the word moyadechem. Well then, minayin l'rabas oimer v'hakorev imoy. Okay, but how do we know that that includes the korban oimer and the animals that are brought as a korban with it, or shtei alechem v'hakorev imam, or the shtei alechem and the korbanos that are brought along with those? Those are not mentioned in Parshas Pinchas at all. So maybe we would say, okay, so the Tomid is doich haShabbos and Tumah. The Pesach is doich haShabbos and Tumah, because by both of them it says b'mayadei. The korbanos that are listed in Parshas Pinchas are doich haShabbos and doich haTumah, because it says at the end, Moyadechem. What about the ones that are not listed in Pinchas, the ones that are only listed in Emor? Therefore, Talmud Lema, by Daba Moshe, as Moyadechem of Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, in Parashas Emor, the Pasuk says that Moshe spoke the Moyadei Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. So again, you have the word Moyadei. Therefore, a Kosev Kovay Moyad Echav Akolon. So the Torah is establishing, therefore, that you have one Moyad for all of them. So all of them have the same rule. They're all Doicha Shabbos and they're all Doicha Tumah. So now, of course, the question is, so why do we need all these different psukim to teach us the same concept? It could just say it by one, but could just say it by one of these karbanos, and we can learn all the other ones from it. So the answer is tzuchi. We need all of them. The e kosev rachmana tamid. If the Torah had only told us by the korban tamid, have a minute. You would say, you know why the korban tamid is doicha Shabbos and doicha Truma? Because it has a lot of chumras. It has chumras over any other korban. Shekein todir, number one, it's constant. You bring it every day. The kolil, and it's completely burnt on the mizbeach, because it's a korban oila. Aval pesach loy, you would argue the pesach is only brought once a year, and it's not completely burnt on the mizbeach. You eat most of it. So maybe not. Maybe it's not strong enough to be doicha Shabbos and doicha tumah. Kamash molon, therefore the pasuk had to tell us by the korban pesach that it is. The E, Kosev Rachmana Pesach, on the other hand, if the Torah only told us by the Korban Pesach, you would say, Pesach, Shehu Onush Kodesh. You know what? On the other hand, the Korban Pesach has a Chumra over any other Korban. If a person doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, then he's Chayiv Kodesh. We're going to learn the details of that later on in our Masechta, in the Peches, Petes, or thereabouts, about the Jinnim of when a person is Chayiv Kodesh for Tzadik Aleph, I think, whatever, ninth Perek, about when a person is Chayiv Kodesh and not Chayiv Kodesh for bringing the Korban Pesach. But there is a concept that a person doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, then it gets Kodesh. You don't have that by other Korbanos. Aval Tomid de'ein onush Kodesh. The Korban Tomid, if they don't bring it, there's no Chiyuv Kodesh. They just missed it. Kamash, so you would think, loy, maybe not. Maybe it's not Doicha Shabbos and Tumah. Kamash Malon, then you would, so therefore we have to be told by the Tomid. But then, the E Kosev Rachmona Hani Tauti, but then if the Torah only told us by the Tomid and by the Pesach, Hava Amina, you would argue, Hani Hu, Yesh Behen Sad Chomer. You would say, you know what though, each of them has some kind of Chomer in it. Because as we just said, Tomid Todr Vakolo, Pesach Shu Anush Kodesh. The Tomid and the Pesach, each of them has a Chomer which you don't find by any other Korban. Avol Shar Korbanos Tzibur Emaloi. Other Korbanos Tzibur don't have either of those factors. There is no Chi of Kodesh for failing to bring the other Korbanos. They're not Todir, they're not brought every day. They're not kolil, because not all of them are burnt completely on the Mizbeach. The Seirim, in particular, the Chatois, are not burnt completely on the Mizbeach. Neither is the Shalmei Tzibur. So Eimaloi, therefore, you would think that not, they're not Doicha Shabbos. Therefore, Kosi Rachmana, Eila Tassu, Lashem, Amayadechem. Therefore, the Torah has to write the Pasuk at the end of Parashas Pinchas, that those are also Doicha Shabbos. Tosfos over here, by the way, it seems that Tosfos and some other Rishonim do not have the Gyusa in the Gemara over here, that when we say that they both have a Tzad Chomer, that apparently they didn't have the Gyusa, that the Gemara lists out what they are. Tomid, Todr, Vekolo, Pesach, Shu, Onish, Kodesh. It seems they don't have that line. Because Tosfos, Rabbein Tam in Tosfos gives a different explanation. It's not that each of them has a Chomer which no other Korban has. If that was the case, then we could still say atzad hashavah shebehen is that they're both even though they don't have anything in common, we see that they're still doicha Shabbos and Tumah, and therefore we can learn the other ones as we always do with atzad hashavah throughout Shas. No, what it is Tosfos says each of these two has something unique about it that you, not each of these two, the two of these together have something unique about them which you don't find by any other korban. Namely, they both were brought before Matan Torah even. Namely, the korban Pesach we know was first brought in Mitzrayim, which is 7 weeks before Matan Torah. As far as the Tumid, Tosfos brings the Machlokas about this in Masechta Chagiga. I think we also had it in Shabbos. There's a Manda Omer that says that they brought the Korban Tumid before Matan Torah even. When it says in Parashas Mishpatim, this coming week's Parasha, it tells at the end of the Parasha how Moshe built a Mizbeach and brought Oilos over there. So there's an opinion in the Gemara and Chagiga that what he actually brought was a Korban Tumid. So you have the Korban Tumid and the Korban Pesach were both brought even before Matan Torah. So that is a Chumrah that you find by those two that you don't find by any other Korban. So that would be reason enough to say we can't learn the other korbanos, and therefore we needed the pasuk at the end of Parashas Pinchas. Eilo tasu l'Hashem amayadechem. But continues the Gemara, the e kosev rachmana eilo tasu l'Hashem amayadechem. On the other hand, if the Torah had written only that, so fine, we have by the Tumid and by the Pesach, and we also have by the korbanos that are listed in Parashas Pinchas. Haba amina, you would still think, Shire Korbanos Tzibur Aboin L'chaper. You know what though, still, maybe that only applied to the other Korbanos Tzibur, which come in order to accomplish a kapara. All the Korbanos Tzibur throughout the Se'irim that come with them, the Se'irim on L'chaper, the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara tell us at the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, the various Se'irim that are brought throughout the year on Rosh Chodesh versus Yom Tovim versus Yom Kippur, on L'chaper on various cases of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, various cases of where a person was Tomei and mistakenly entered the Besmikdash or mistakenly ate Korbanos. There's various Seirim are Mechaper for those. But also, even the Oilas that come with them are also Mechaper, because in general, a Korban Oila is Mechaper for Mitzvah Sasei, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Yoma. So all of them are coming to the purpose of Kapara. Therefore, they're strong enough to be Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Tumah. Aval Oimer Shtei Alechem, but when it comes to the Korban Oimer and the Shtei Alechem, the Ein Boi Mechaper, those bechlal do not come for the purpose of kapara. Ela lahatir ba'almaninu. The purpose of the oimer and the purpose of the shtei alechem is to be matir things. The oimer is matir that now you can eat chodosh. The shtei alechem is matir that now you can use chodosh for korbanos mincha. Up until that point, you had to use last year's crop. So they're not really coming for kapara at all. So they only come in order to be matter something, loy. Maybe they're not strong enough to be doicha Shabbos or doicha Tumah. Kamash Malan, therefore we need to be told the pasuk at the end of Parshas Emor that those are doicha Shabbos and Tumah as well. And the ikatz rachmana oimer shtei alechem b'chudayu. On the other hand, if the Torah only told us by the oimer and the shtei alechem alone, and we wanted to learn all the others, hava amina, you would say the other way around, adaraba. Oimer shtei alechem da alimi. The Oimer and the shtei alechem are stronger. Deboyin lahapter. After all, they're coming to be matir is something important. So therefore they need to take place even the Shabbos and even the Tumah, because otherwise, what are you going to do? You're going to be stuck. You're not going to be able to eat chodosh. You're not going to be able to bring chodosh for a karbonis. Therefore, maybe they should be doicha Shabbos and doicha Tumah. Aval hanachloi, but the other korbanos maybe are not strong enough for that, because they're only coming for a kapara. Okay, so you don't have the kapara, fine, you'll live. Kamash malon, therefore we need the pasuk by the other ones as well, to tell us that the other ones are doicha Shabbos and doicha Tumah as well. So that's why we need all of those. Okay, so that explains why we need all those various psukim. Now we end up with what we have in the Mishnah, that there are six korbanos that can be brought for Tumah. Five of them, again, the eating of them is not essential to the korban, therefore they can't be eaten for Tumah. Because to the extent we're saying that we're going to allow these korbanos to be brought on for Tumah, but we're not going to go so far as to be matir the issue of eating them for Tumah. But with the korban Pesach, where the whole purpose of the Pesach is to be eaten, and that one, when the Torah tells us that can be brought for Tumah, automatically that includes the heter to eat it as well. Okay. So now we're going to get into a discussion, which is going to go on to Daf Ayin Ches as well. We're going to discuss this whole issue, the underlying principle behind this issue of that was saying that Korbanos Tzibur can be brought for Tara, can be brought for Tumah rather. Now there's two ways of looking at it. There's two ways of looking at it, and there's also a din that we need to. There's also dinim that we have in that connection. One way of looking at it is called tumah. Do we say tumah hutra b'tzibur or tumah dechuya b'tzibur? There's two ways of looking at it. One is we say that tumah hutra b'tzibur, in other words, there's a heter, the tereda b'chlal does not have an, there's no iser at all on bringing korbanos tzibur b'tumah. So even if you have alternatives, let's say, for example, we said that one of the cases we bring in b'tumah is, let's say, for example, the koyanim are tamei. If we say tumah hutra b'tzibur, means that those koyanim who are tamei, who are available right now, are able to do the avodah. On the other hand, if we say tumah dechuya b'tzibur, if we say it's only pushed off b'tzibur, meaning ideally we would rather that they brought b'tara, but because it's korban tzibur, the Torah is going to make an exception and allow you to bring it b'tumah. But nevertheless, if you can get a hold, if you can go find koyanim who are tamei, according to that way of looking at it, you would have to do that. That's one nafkamin of it, and we'll see others as we go through the sugya. Now, another point is that we're going to be discussing a lot in the sugya is the role of the tzitz in all of this. The Torah tells us that the tzitz accomplishes l'rot v'nos aronis avona kodshim, that Aaron or whichever kohen gadol in that time bears on him as a result of the tzitz. He takes away the avera of the kodshim, meaning that if kodshim are being brought for tumah, that tzitz makes those korbanos acceptable. It's called tzitz miratzah. It's also called ritzui tzitz, that the tzitz makes things acceptable. So now, how does that fit together with tumah dechuya and tumah hutra? That's also what we're going to be discussing. So the Gemara starts off like this. Savrua. Now, the yeshivalites who are going to ask the question that we're going to have in a few lines, they started with the assumption as follows. That most tanoim are going to hold that tumah is only dechuya b'tzibur. It's not a total heter. Where you can't find koyanim tahorim, for example, or clay shardis that are tahor, then you'll go ahead and do it b'tumah. And therefore, it's not the ideal thing. It's not a complete heter. And therefore, ubayat tzitz l'ratzis. And therefore, you need to have the tzitz in order to make the korban acceptable. And what makes them assume that? The lekatan of the shamas leda amatuma hutra b'tzibur ela Rabbi Yehuda. Because the fact is, we only find one tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that tumor is hutra b'tzibur. Now, Tosfos points out that, I mean, so what? Rabbi Yehuda is a very strong tana. We often have the halacha is like him, as we learned today, Rabin. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, because we have later on, we have Rabbi Yossi says that tumor dechuya he b'tzibur, and we know that usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, the yeshivalite, the bnei ha-yeshiva, when they're starting with this question, they're starting with the assumption that only Rabbi Yehuda holds that tumah hutra b'tzibur. Everybody else, including those who we pass in like, for example, Rabbi Yossi, hold tumah dechuya b'tzibur, and therefore let's use that as an initial assumption. And where do we know Rabbi Yehuda holds that? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, sits ben sheyeshnei al mitzchay or ben sheenei al mitzchay miratza. Divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says whether the kohen is actually wearing the tzitz when the tumah happens in the korbanos, or there are other mafoshim who learn that it means when they're sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach. Whatever it is, only if he's wearing the tzitz, or whether he's wearing the tzitz at that time, or vein she'enei al-mitzchay, whether he's not wearing the tzitz at that time, either way, miratze, either way, that makes the korban that was brought the tumah acceptable, divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda, so Reb Shimon would say, by the way, the Gemara tells us in Yoma, the only way Reb Shimon would say that it doesn't, well, first of all, later on, we're going to have in the sugya various kinds of tumah that the tzitz does not help for. The tzitz only helps in particular, as we're going to discuss, for tumas boser. Only if the meat of the korban became tumah, then the tzitz will work on that. It doesn't work, for example, for other kinds of cases of tumah or other kinds of psulim, those that tzitz doesn't help for. Reb Shimon will agree to that. But also, the Gemara mentions in Yoma, let's say that tzitz broke, so the kohen's not allowed, not able to wear it at all, then Reb Shimon agrees it doesn't work at that point. But that's Reb Shimon holds, even if the kohen gadol is not wearing the tzitz right now, it still helps to be machshir a korban. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Odehu al mitzchei miratze, only when it's on the kohen gadol's forehead is it miratze. Ein odehu al mitzchei, ein miratze. If it's not on his forehead, it's not miratze. And the Braisa, now we still don't see yet where Rabbi Yehuda says tumah hutra b'tzibur. We're going to get to that in a few lines. But Amar lo Rav Shimon, so Rav Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say that only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz does it have an effect? Kohen Gadol b'yemek to purim yechiyach. You should be able to prove the contrary from the case of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur during the time when he's wearing the big day lavan, that should prove it. She'enei amitzchay. At that point, he's not wearing the tzitz. The tzitz is not one of the clothes that he's wearing into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, it's interesting, by the way, Rashi mentions the reason is because ein kategor nasa sanegor, because gold was used for the egel, and therefore we don't want it to be there when he's coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, Rakiva Egel in Gilui Nashas says, why on earth does Rashi have to give that reason? The reason the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz is because it's not one of the four begadim that it says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Achrimos, that he should be wearing. The Pasuk in Achrimos over there lists the four pieces of clothing that he should be wearing to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the tzitz is not among them. So that alone is the reason why he doesn't. Not well, Ein Kategor Nasas Enego is very nice to explain why Taka does the Torah tell him to only wear those and not the tzitz, but that's not the reason why he's not wearing the tzitz. So different Achronim answer, there's a discussion that maybe Rashi would say if it weren't for that reason, you would say the Pasuk is saying he doesn't have to wear the tzitz, but maybe he could if he wanted to. But Ein Kategor, Nasa Sanegra tells us he shouldn't wear it. Whatever the case, the point is, Rav Shimon is saying the Kohen Gadol does not wear the tzitz on Yom Kippur. He's not wearing the tzitz, or Murata. And we still see that, again, we said the Korbanos Tzibur that have a fixed time, which includes the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, are brought with Truma. That's what we just said before. We listed the five in our Mishnah, but we said it applies more generally. We said once we mention the Zivchei Shamed Tzibur, then it applies to the other Seirim that are brought, that are eaten, of which there's one of those brought on Yom Kippur as well. And of course, it applies to all the other Korbanos Tzibur that have a fixed time as well, which includes all the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. So they're all Doicha Shabbos, they're all Doicha Truma. And yet we see Umanatza. So we see, therefore, that the Tzitz obviously has an effect and makes those Korbanos acceptable, even if they're being brought with Truma. Omer Loi, said Rabbi Yehuda, answers him, Hanach Liyonot Purim, set aside your argument about Yom Kippur, Shetumah Hutra B'Tzibur, because there you're talking about a Korban Tzibur, and it's Hutra. It's permitted to begin with. So in other words, it's not just Dechuya, it's not just a B'dievedika thing that we're going to try to do it B'Tara, but if we can't, we can do it B'Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's actually Hutra B'Tzibur. And therefore, you don't need the Tzitz for it in the first place. Miklal de Rav Shimon, Sava Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur. So you see from that, Rav Shimon holds that it's only Dechuya. Which again, so the Bnei HaYeshiva began with the assumption that most of the Tanoim agreed with Rav Shimon. Again, as Tosfos says, for one thing, we're gonna have tomorrow on tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem, that Rav Yossi holds that way. And Rav Yossi, Nimukai Imer, Rav Yossi always has a good reason whenever he gives an opinion in the halacha, and therefore most of the time the halacha is like him. So we're gonna start with the assumption then that most Tanoim, except Rav Yehuda, hold that way. Now, number two, or Dekulei Alma, we're also going to start with the assumption that everybody would agree, that most Tanoim would agree, Ein Tzitz Meratza Al Achilos, that the Tzitz does not help to make the edible part of the korban be mutter. Now, we're going to discuss later on like this. For sure, if the korban is brought b'truma, you're not allowed to eat it b'truma. We said the korban Pesach is the only exception. Most Korbanos Tzibur, we said, even though they can be brought with Truma, they can't be eaten with Truma. But now what you have is like this. Sometimes you have where it's important that there can be that the blood became Tomei, or in the case of a Mincha, that the Koimetz became Tomei. That's what we say, that's what the Tzitz helps for, that it makes that blood or that Koimetz, if it's offered on the Mizbeach anyway, the Korban is kosher. But then you also have the rest of the meat of the korban, or the rest of the flour of the korban, the meat of the korban, or the shiraim of the korban mincha. We're starting with the assumption that most tanoim hold that the tzitz does not help regarding those. If those became tamei, then the tzitz doesn't change that status. Which means not only they can't be eaten, it means also in connection with, we're going to discuss later on Daf Ayin Ches, we're going to talk about various naftaminis, what happens if the meat of the korban is tamei or otherwise pasul, that certain dinim about the korban don't kick in. So we're going to say that the tzitz doesn't change that. The tzitz does not make as does not cause those dinim. We're going to talk about pigul, meila, whatever, that those don't kick in. Now, why not? Because deleka tana the shamas le d'omar atzitz meratza al achilas elo Rabbi Eliezer. Because the only tana that we find who holds that the tzitz helps and actually makes the edible parts of the korban be considered for that purpose, for the purposes of pigul and meila and whatever, as if they were tahor, only Rabbi Eliezer holds that. the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Imat Sitz Meratz Alachilas. Rabbi Eliezer says that Sitz does help for that. Again, not to say that you're allowed to eat the meat, but to say, in other words, that we consider as though the meat was roi to eat, and therefore that has effects on the that has effects on certain dinim with the korban, such as people. Rabbi Yossi Eimeinat Sitz Meratz Alachilas. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't. And again, we would assume that most Tanoim agree with Rabbi Yossi. So now, if we start with those two assumptions, name a masnis in the like of Yeshua. Would we have to say then that our Mishnah then does not go like Rabbi Yeshua? Our Mishnah that's saying that you can bring the Omer and the Shteh Lechem b'tumah. Now again, so what does that mean? Given that they're coming to Tumah, if we hold Tumah dechoya b'tzibur, not Hutra but only dechoya, then it means we need the tzitz in order to make that kosher. But again, we're saying that the tzitz is not helping for the edible parts of the korban. Now, the problem is, when it comes to the omer and the shteh lechem, you don't really have, in the case of the shteh lechem, you don't have, none of it is brought on the mizbeach at all. In the case of the omer, fine, a koimetz of it is brought on the mizbeach, but you have, what about all the rest of it? How is the korban becoming acceptable in the first place? Only the koimetz itself should work. On the face of it, Britannia, we learn it now, we learn it in a braisa. The pasuk says, what we're going to say is like this. With an animal korban, you have two things that go on the mizbeach. You have at least two things. You have the blood of the korban, and then you have the emurim that are burnt on the mizbeach. In the case of a korban mincha, such as the korban ha'omer, you only have one. You only have the koimetz. And the koimetz stands in place of the blood. There's no such thing as emurim, obviously, when it comes to a korban mincha. So therefore, the problem is, as we're going to say now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you have to have both, you have to have the blood and the meat of the korban available in order for the korban to be kosher. So therefore, in the case of a korban mincha, that would mean you'd need to have the koimetz and the shirayim both be available. But if we're saying that the tzitz doesn't help for the shirayim, because it doesn't help for the edible parts of the korban, those still are considered tamei, then according to Rabbi Yeshua, how would you be able to bring the omer or the shteh lechem b'tumah? So therefore, it would mean that our Mishnah can't go like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the question. So what do we see? What does Rabbi Yeshua say? So we're going to quote what Rabbi Yeshua says and what Rabbi Eliezer says. We're going to discuss them. We're going to discuss the ins and outs of their opinions. After we're done with that, then on Amud Beis, we'll get back to this question. How could our Mishnah be according to Rabbi Yeshua? So to Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, v'asista oylei secha habos of Adam, the Pasuk says you should bring your oylus, the blood, the meat and the blood. So why is it putting together meat and blood? So Rabbi Yeshua, im ein dam ein baser, im ein baser ein dam. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to have both of them. You have to have that the blood of the korban is available to be sprinkled on a mizbeach, and the meat of the korban has to be roi to eat. For example, it can't be tomei, it can't have been destroyed, etc. If you don't have baser of the korban, then you can't sprinkle the blood. And vice versa, if the blood can't be sprinkled, for example, because it became tamei, or because it spilled, or whatever, then you can't eat the meat. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a dam alpha b'shein baser. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you can sprinkle the meat, even if the meat of the korban is tamei, or otherwise unavailable. Shenema, because the pasuk, that same pasuk continues, the dam zvachecha yishavich. The blood of your zvachim should be spilled on the mizbeach, meaning regardless whether there's meat available to eat or whether there's not, either way, you have to pour the blood of the korban on the mizbeach. And he says, Umani makayim ba'asisa adesecha abos of Adam. So Rabbi Eliezer says, so what am I doing with the first part of the pasuk where it mentions baser and dam together? That teaches us something else. Loi maloch. It teaches you, the hekesh between them teaches you, ma dam bezrika, just like the blood of the korban has to be thrown on the mizbeach, we know with most korbanos, only with the chatas, you actually dip your finger in and you daub it on the corners of the mizbeach. All the other, most other korbanos, you do mitosh, you shtayim shein abba, you take the bowl of blood and you stand next to the corner of the mizbeach and you dash it out of the bowl onto the sides of the mizbeach. So just like the blood has to be done bezrika, af baser bezrika. Says Rabbi Eliezer, that's what you're learning from the hekesh of baser and dam. That the baser, the meat of the korban, also has to be thrown onto the fire. heavy omer. Therefore, that forces you to say, lul cotton yesh ben kevesh l'mizbeach. There was a small hole or a small space between the ramp of the mizbeach and the mizbeach itself. So the top of the kevesh is not attached to the mizbeach. There's a space between them. So therefore, so you stand on the edge of the ramp, on the edge of the kevesh, and you throw the pieces of the korban over that gap into the fire, and that way your makayim is zrika. Tosfos actually says it's not like you needed a gap there in order to do that. If you didn't have a gap there, you could also stand further away and throw it. The purpose of the gap, Tosfos says, is actually that you should remember to do it. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Zvachim that seems to imply that the gap is there dafka because without it you won't fulfill the mitzvah. And the Chacham Tzvi, actually Gilui Nashas over here, Rabbi Akiva Eger, references that Shuvah Chacham Tzvi that asks on Tosfos what do they mean that it's only in order to remind you. It seems from that Gemara in Zvachim that it's actually a requirement, and without it you're not makayim mitzvah srika. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that's what you're learning from that hekesh of dam and basar. Not like you were saying, Rabbi Yeshua, that it means that you have to have both the dam, that you have to have the basar available in order to do the zrika of the dam. Not like that. So the question is, Rabbi Yeshua, now you have to say the dam zvachafei shafik. Okay, so how is Rabbi Yeshua, what does he do with the pasuk that it says the blood of your korbanos should be spilled, which Rabbi Eliezer is saying means that you have to spill it regardless whether there's basar available or not. Look at the next words in the pasuk. Right away it continues, and then you eat the meat. So you see that when the pasuk is still implying, when do you pour out the blood? Only if there's meat to eat. No meat, no blood, which is exactly what I'm saying. So then the question is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Bahani Tirei Kroi Lomali. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, why would it need to repeat that point twice? Why at the beginning of the pasuk would it have to say Vasiso Lisecha Habasav Hadom, and then at the end of the pasuk continue Vedams Vachecha Yishapech Vahabasav Teichel? The answer is we would say Chad Ba'olav Chad B'Shlamim. You would say because one applies to the first part of the pasuk applies to a korban ola. The second half where it mentions Zvachecha, the word Zebach generally speaking means a korban shlamim. And we would need both of them. The E kosher rachmona ba'ola, because if the Torah only told us this concept by an ola, habam in a ola hu dechamira, then you would say an ola is stronger than a shlomim, shekain kolil, because burnt completely on the mizbeach. Therefore, we have to be machmir, and you can't sprinkle the blood unless there's meat available to burn on the mizbeach. Avol shlomim deloy chamiri, but shlomim are not so serious because you eat the meat anyway. So avoloy, maybe not. Maybe you could sprinkle the blood even if the meat is not available to eat. Because big deal, the meat is only something that you're going to eat. You the kohenim, you the owner, or whatever. So therefore we don't care so much if it is. Therefore, so the second half of the pasuk had to say that it applies to a shlomim. The E kosher rachmana shlomim. On the other hand, if the Torah told this concept only by a shlomim, then you would say, Hava amina adraba. You would say, on the contrary, maybe that very fact, the fact that you eat the shlomim, makes it stronger. The isvu shtei achilas. There's two different kinds of eating that happen with the shlomim. The mizbeach eats part of it, the imorim, and the kohenim and the onur eat the actual meat of it. So therefore, you have those two kinds of eating. So maybe adraba, the shlomim is stronger than the ola. Aval oila de less veshte achilas. An oila, you don't have both kinds of eating because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. Amaloi, so you would argue that maybe it doesn't matter if there's no basar and you can still sprinkle the blood. Kamash malon, therefore, Rabbi Yeshua would say that's why both halves of the pasuk are telling you the same din because it's talking about two different kinds of korbanos. Actually, Tosfos on Amud Aleph asks, in that case, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then what, if Rabbi Eliezer is using one of them to teach us that you have to throw the pieces of meat onto the fire, then Taka, where is he learning? If you're, Taka, how would he learn that it applies, that this din applies both by Ola and Shlomim? Maybe Taka, we would say that by Shlomim, you could sprinkle the blood even if there's no meat available, but by an Ola is not. So Tosfos leaves the question open. Okay. Anyway. Getting back to the Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer, Nami Haksiva Abasa Teichel, new Rabbi Eliezer also knows that after the words Vadams Vachacha Yishafet, it continues and you eat the meat. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're saying we're learning from that you can only sprinkle the blood only if there's meat to eat. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, what are we doing with that? Amalach. So he tells you, Ahumi Borile, that we need to teach. She'ena bosom, mutabachilad, she'izarek adam. The very fact that you're not allowed to eat the meat of the korban until the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, we learn it from this bosom. Because if not for that, you would think that maybe you'd be allowed to eat it even before the blood is sprinkled. Now, you actually have different psukim. You actually have a different pasuk for that, where the pasuk says, "Lois sirchu al adam," and one of the many meanings of that is that you're not allowed to eat meat from a korban before the blood is sprinkled. But one distinction is there could be a difference between, let's say, for example, you could say if the blood is available, then you have to sprinkle it. But let's say, for example, the blood spilled, maybe the dievin, you don't have to. So therefore, you need separate psukim for that as well. So then the question is, so then maybe you could say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe you should have to say the whole pasuk is teaching you that concept, that you can only eat the korban only if the blood is sprinkled. So after all, where would Rabbi Eliezer learn that you could sprinkle the blood even if there's no meat available to eat, because it's all tameh or whatever? Amalach, said Rabbi Eliezer, would answer you, in Cain, if that's what it was, if the pasuk was telling you, just that, if the pasuk just wanted to tell you that din, that you can't eat the meat until the blood is sprinkled, nichtiv rachmana, habosav teichol, vahodav adams v'zrachach yishachim. Then in that case, in the second half of the pasuk, it should be putting it the other way around. It should be saying that you eat the meat of the korban, then say the blood of the korban is spilled on the mizbeach. Kidichtiv bereish of asisar alesach habosav adam. Just like in the first half of the pasuk, first it mentions the meat, then it mentions the blood. So in the second half, also it should have first mentioned the meat, then the blood. And we would understand from that it means when can you eat the meat? Only when the dam zvachach yishapich. Only when the blood has already been spilled before you eat it, because otherwise, if it said, Rashi explains, if it said, Vadam Tishbach, then fine. You would say it means you could eat the meat and then you spill the blood. When it says, Vadam Yishafech, it implies that it was already poured out before you eat it. So the Pasuk could have phrased it that way, and then Boster could have come before Dam, just like it does in the first half of the Pasuk. Why in the second half of the Pasuk, says Rabbi Eliezer, does it put the Dam Zvachecha first? Shmamin or damaf b'chein baser, that comes to teach you that no matter what the dam zvachecha yishapech, no matter what you're spilling out the blood of that korban, whether you're spilling out the blood of that korban, regardless whether there is baser available and whether there's not. And then, since afterwards it mentions v'abosar teicho she'ena bosar mutzvachilav she'izarek adam, that the meat is only mutzah to eat only if the blood is sprinkled. So according to him, you can learn both things. One thing you learn from the fact that it puts dam before baser, and the other one, the fact that it mentions baser at all. So therefore, you can learn all that. So therefore, you can still say that you learn that you can sprinkle dam after the shein baser. What about Rabbi Yeshua? Now, what would Rabbi Yeshua answer to all of that? He would say, "Ena baser mutzvachil ad sheizer kadam kavachoyim." He says, I don't need a pasuk to tell you that you can't eat the meat before you sprinkle the blood. That we can learn from a kavachoyim. Ma uma imurin, madach the imurim of the animal, to keep less new loy ma'akvi. After all, if the imurim are not available, that's not the act of the korban. Once the blood of the korban is sprinkled, you're supposed to burn the imurim on the mizbeach. But if you didn't, the korban is still kosher. And yet, ki isnu ma'akvi, but if the imurim are available, then you can't eat the meat of the korban unless the imurim are offered on the mizbeach. Now, we learned previously, at the beginning of the fifth parak, that concept. Let's say the Emurim became tameh or lost, or what have you. You're still allowed, once the blood of the korban was sprinkled, you're allowed to eat the meat. Only, we said, if they're available, then you have to burn them on the mizbeach. You have to put them on the mizbeach before you can eat the meat. So they're not ma'active, but yet, if they are available, they are ma'active. Well, then, a kavachoymer would be damned if he less than ma'active. A kavachoymer then would be that blood, if the blood is not available, it is ma'akiv, you for sure, you can't, you, so it, even if it's not available, you, even if it's tameh or whatever, you still can't eat the korban. Ki isay, so then if it's available, if it's tameh and available to sprinkle on the mizbeach, loy kol shekein ma'akiv, how much more so that holds you back from eating the korban? So what do I need a pasuk to teach us that concept when we already have a plain kavachoymer for it, says Rabbi Yeshua. Virab Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer would answer, okay, as we said before, as we've said sometimes before, Milsa de Asir, Kavachomer, Tarach Lakas of Lakra. Okay, you can have something where you can learn with a Kavachomer, and still the Pasuk takes the trouble to write it out. So therefore, so we can say, yes, it could have been learned by your Kavachomer of Yeshua, but okay, the Pasuk wrote it out anyway. So therefore, we can still say that we're using the Pasuk to teach us that din, which fine, we could have learned by a Kavachomer, therefore, we're using it for that, and we're using it to, and we're using it to teach you also that dam afa bishein boso, that you can sprinkle the blood even if there's no meat available. We're not using it for your drasha, Rabbi Yeshua, that you can only sprinkle the blood only if there's meat. Ver Rabbi Yeshua, what would Rabbi Yeshua answer to that? He would say, listen, kol hecha de ikal midrash, whenever you have something extra in a pasuk which you're able to darshinam, then we want to darshin it. We're not going to say this concept that something that could have been written, that something that could have been learned from a Kavachoyim, the Pasuk will take the trouble to write it out. We're not going to say that unless we have no other alternative, says Rabbi Yeshua. If we have a Pasuk, we can't find anything else to learn from it. And we're saying that, after all, the din that we learn from it is something we learned from a Kavachoyim, we could have learned from a Kavachoyim. Fine, then we can say that the Torah does that. But here, where we have an available drasha, we are able to say, instead, the Torah is teaching you, like Rabbi Yeshua says, no dam, if there's no basar, then, and no basar, if there's no dam, then we're going to learn that, rather than saying that, that we're learning a din that we anyway could have learned from a Kavachoyim. Okay. So now that we've gone through all that discussion, understanding Rabbi Eliezer's shita and Rabbi Yeshua's shita, and what they do with each other's psukim, now we get back to the question that we started on Amud Aleph, that Hashda Leim Asnis and Deloitu Rabbi Yeshua. Would we therefore have to say that our Mishnah, which is allowing you to bring the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, the Tumah, would we have to say that that does not go according to Rabbi Yeshua? Again, given the two initial assumptions that we started with, that number one, that Rabbi Yeshua, like most Tanoim, would say that Tumah is only Dechuya B'tzivur, it's not Hutra, it's only Dechuya, therefore we need the Tzitz. And second of all, if we assume that the Tzitz does not help for Achilos, it doesn't help to make the edible parts of the carbon considered as though they were tahor, then how does that fit with our, Mishnah? Dekiven de'omer ba'in and tauti, since by assumption we would say that you need, according to Rabbi Yeshua, both the dam and the basar to be available, and the tzitz achilas lo meratzah, if we also assume, as we did, that Rabbi Yeshua holds like most Tanoim, that the tzitz does not help for the edible parts of the korban, the tzitz helps only for the parts of the korban that are sprinkled or offered on the mizbeach, hechi osi b'truma. Then when it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, how is this going to work? So when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, again, nothing of it goes on the Mizbeach at all. Actually, Tosfos points out, in that case, so what's the problem of bringing it for Tumah? But the answer is because you have to do Tshnufa. You have to wave it. That's considered bringing it. So how could you do that for Tumah? And even in the case of the Shtei Alechem, there's nothing in it that's offered on the Mizbeach. Even the Omer, fine, you have the Koimetz is brought of the Omer. But the Koimetz is only the equivalent of the blood. You still need something to be the equivalent of the Emurim in order to then say that the rest of it would count as meat. And then and say, Damach Bishen Basar. If there's no Emurim by a Mincha, therefore the rule should be that you can't bring the Koimetz if the Shirayim can't be eaten. And the Shirayim can't be eaten over here because the korban is being brought for Tumah. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, how would this work in the first place? The answer is, Akfilu Tamer Rabbi Yeshua. You could, after all, say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yeshua. Ela Kasavar Rabbi Yeshua, Tzitz Meratz Ala Oilin. So you can answer that Rabbi Yeshua would say that the Tzitz helps not only for the blood, but it also helps for the Emurim. It also helps for things that are offered on the Mizbeach. Okay, well then the question is, Totenach Zvachim, the Ika Olin. Okay, well then that works as far as animal korbanos, where again you have two things, you have dam, then you have emurim, then you have basar. So Rabbi Yeshua would say that as long as the emurim can be offered on the Mizbeach, then that's a valid reason to sprinkle the blood of the korban. The tzitz will take care of the emurim and make it considered as if they were tahor. Fine, that works by animal korbanos. Ela Omerish Elechem de Leka Olin. When it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, there's nothing in them that goes on the Mizbeach. So again, Shtei Alechem, there really is nothing that goes on the Mizbeach. In the case of the Omer, there is. But in the case of the Omer, you have the Koimetz functions as the equivalent of the dam, after that, there's nothing else that goes on the Mizbeach to be the equivalent of Emorim. So then, then what are you going to say? Well, then, if we assume that Rabbi Yeshua, so fine, we're going to say that Rabbi Yeshua holds that tzitz helps not only for the blood, but also for the oilim. He just says it doesn't help for the meat. But in the case of the oimer and the shteir lechem, in effect, the whole thing is like the equivalent of meat. So how is it going to work according to him? So the answer is Amri. So they answer like this. Ki Amr Rabbi Yeshua Namid, but in the Taiti Bizvachim. You know what? Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need both of them, that you need dam and boser to be available, would only be Bizvachim, only by animal korbanos. But Menachos L'Amar, not necessarily did Rabbi Yeshua ever say that concept when it comes to Menachos. So therefore, that answers our Mishnah very simply. So our Mishnah could be according to Rabbi Yeshua. When it comes to the Shteir Lechem, yeah, nothing of them is offered on the Mizbeach. When it comes to the Omer, only the Koimitz is offered on the Mizbeach. Fine, Rabbi Yeshua's dam of Bishayin boser only applies to korbanos that have dam and boser, namely animal korbanos, not Menachos. The problem with that is, Menachos like Omer. Are you telling me then that Rabbi Yeshua does not hold of this dam af bishein bot, that just ein boser ein dam, that he doesn't hold of that concept by Menachos? Bahatnan. What we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, nitvo shiareha, what happens with a korban mincha if you did, the kohen did the kmitza of it, he didn't yet offer the kohen on the mizbeach, then the shirayim of it, the rest of the mincha became tamei. Or another example would be if it got burnt, and of your shirayim, another example would be if the shirayim got lost, kmidas Rabbi Eliezer shira, well then following Rabbi Eliezer's shita, the kohen is still kosher, because again, if Rabbi Eliezer says, dam alphabichain boser, like we said before, that you can sprinkle the blood of the korban even if there's no meat of the korban available. The same logic, he would say the koimetz, which serves in place of the blood, that can be brought on the mizbeach even if there's no boser, even if there's no rest of the mincha to eat. And to midas Rabbi Yeshua psula. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, it would be possible. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua says his din even when it comes to a mincha. The answer is the Gemara says no. Kim midas v'loy kim midas. When it says kim midas Rabbi Eliezer and kim midas Rabbi Yeshua doesn't mean completely that it follows Rabbi Yeshua's shita. It means it's similar to, but not identical. Kim midas Rabbi Yeshua to be in entirety. It is following Rabbi Yeshua's shita that you need both dam and boser, and therefore here there's no boser, therefore it doesn't work. V'loy midas Rabbi Yeshua, but it's not completely according to Rabbi Yeshua's shita. De'ilu Rabbi Yeshua b'zvachim amar b'menachos b'amar. Rabbi Yeshua himself would hold his concept only when it comes to korbanos, only when it comes to animal korbanos, but not when it comes to menachos. But the Tana of this Mishnah, the ilu ay Tana sarach to the b'menachos. The Tana of this Mishnah takes Rabbi Yeshua's opinion about imein boser ein dam and extends it to menachos. But Rabbi Yeshua himself doesn't have to hold that way. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua could hold of that only by Zvachim, not by Menachos, and therefore our Mishnah could work according to Rabbi Yeshua as well. The question is, the Gemara asks, Umanu hai Tana, to call you Tavaseo, Machmet Feminei. Where do you find such a Tana? Where do you find anywhere else an opinion of a Tana like that who takes that idea of Rabbi Yeshua's that applies to Zvachim, to animal korbanos, and applies it even further to a korban mincha? That's first of all. If you find a Tana that says that, then fine. But where do we find such a Tana? But oid Tanya. Not only that, but we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yossi says, I can see the logic and I can accept what Rabbi Eliezer is saying as far as Menachos and Zvachim. On the other hand, I see and I accept the words of Rabbi Yeshua when it comes to Zvachim and Menachos. Now, what on earth does he mean by that? We're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow what Rabbi Yossi means by that. But anyway, the point is, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'zvachim, Rabbi Yossi says, I accept what Rabbi Eliezer is saying when it comes to zvachim. Shahoya oimer dam af mishein sham baser. He says you can sprinkle the blood even if there's no meat available to eat afterwards. The divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'zvachim, shahoya oimer im ein dam ein baser ein baser ein dam. On the other hand, I also accept what Rabbi Yeshua is saying as far as Zvachim, that if there's no blood to sprinkle, then you can't eat the meat, and if there's no meat to eat, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Again, what does he mean by that? That seems to be contradictory. That we'll deal with in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches. And he continues, Divir Rabbi Eliezer b'Menachos, I accept, says Rabbi Yossi, what Rabbi Eliezer is saying by Menachos, he says you can bring the klimats on the Mizbeach even if there's no Shirayim, because like we said, the Shirayim became Tomei or burnt or what have you. And Divir Rabbi Yeshua b'Menachos, I also accept what Rabbi Yeshua is saying as far as Menachos, where he says that no, you can't offer the Shirayim, you can't offer the Koimetz unless the Shirayim are available, and you can't eat the Shirayim unless the Koimetz was offered on the Mizbeach. So what Rabbi Yeshua means, we'll deal with tomorrow, but the point is, we see that Rabbi Yeshua holds his Shita both by Zvachim and by Menachos. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yeshua would hold it only by Zvachim, and therefore say our Mishnah, which is talking about Menachos, could go according to him? That doesn't work. No, what we're going to do is we started this sugya with two assumptions of what Rabbi Yeshua would hold. We started with the assumption that he holds that Tumah is only Dechuya, not Hotra. Therefore, you need the Tzitz. We also started with the assumption that Rabbi Yeshua would be one of the majority of Tanoim who holds that the Tzitz does not help for Achilos, for the edible parts of the Korban. First we said only for the blood, then we said maybe for the blood and the Emurim as well. Now we're going to change that. We're going to say that Yeshua would hold that actually the tzitz helps not only for that, but also for the edible parts of the korbanos. Again, not to say that that means that you can eat them, but to say that, in other words, that the tzitz makes it considered as though those parts, which now are tamei, as if they were not tamei, and therefore that we can go ahead with the korban. So that explains our Mishnah, therefore. So in our Mishnah, you're able to bring the Oimer and the Shtei Lechem, because it's Korban Sibur B'Tumah, even though it's B'Tumah, and because you have the Tzitz, and the Tzitz helps also for the edible parts of them to make them considered as though they're still there, and therefore that the Korban can be validly brought. Okay, well then the question is, Yehochi Amai Kamidus Rabbi Yeshua Psula, then why in the Mishnah from Menachos that we just quoted before, did we say that following Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, we would say that the Korban, that the Mincha where the Shirayim became Tossel before the Koimetz was offered, became Tomei or whatever, before the Koimetz was offered on Mizbeach, we said according to Rabbi Yeshua that means that the Mincha is Tossel. Why? According to him, the Tzitz should help. The answer is, Ovod Vesol. The answer is okay. You could say that Rabbi Yeshua is talking about the other two cases in the Mishnah, where the Shirayim became lost or where the Shirayim became burnt. Then you would say that you can't bring the Koimetz. But where it became Tomei, Rabbi Yeshua would say you could. Well, then the question is Ela Nitma Laman Katani. Well, then we have to ask like this. We said in the Mishnah there in Menachos three cases: one where the Shirayim became Tomei, one where they became where they were burnt, one where they were lost. Now, in the case where it became Tomei, Laman Katani, which Tana would that be according to? Why would we need to mention it? According to Rabbi Eliezer, obviously you could bring the Koimetz in that case because Hashdi Yeshlema Ovid Basarif to Lesnu. If even the Shirayim are lost or they're burnt, they're not available anymore. They're b'chal. They don't exist anymore. Mahashir Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer would still say that you can bring the Koimetz. Nitma, so where the Shirayim became Tomei, De'ise, the Shirayim still exist. The Shirayim still exist. Miboya, would you need to say that then you can bring the Koimetz? Of course you can bring the Koimetz in that case. Ela Pshita Rabbi Yeshua. Obviously, therefore, that Mishnah must be talking according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Chiddush of mentioning the case where the Shirayim are Tomei is only according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Katani Psula. And the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yeshua says it's possible. So there you go. Rabbi Yeshua clearly says that even if it's Tomei, the Tzitz doesn't help, which was our initial assumption. But then we're back to, would we have to say that our Mishnah doesn't work according to Rabbi Yeshua? And furthermore, Tanya, we learn in a braisa clearly what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yeshua, in a kol zvachim shva Torah, when it comes to all korbanos in the Torah, bein shenitvam bosa v'chelev kayim, whether the meat became tomei and the chelev is still okay, the chelev did not become tomei, bein shenitvam chelev v'vosa kayim, or the chelev became tomei and the meat is still intact, either way, zerdek hasadram, either way we can sprinkle the blood, Avol nitmo tavai uloi, but not if both of them become tamei. The implication is not if both of them, because he said if one or the other of them is good, then we'll find. The implication is if both of them are no good, then not. So it shows that Rabbi Yeshua holds, in fact, that Sitz does not help for the Olin, for the Chelev, or for the Necholin, for the meat, because if he held that it worked for the Olin, if it worked for the Chelev, then what's the problem? Even if the Chelev and the meat are both Tameh, the Sitz should help to make the Chelev considered as though it wasn't Tameh, and the Korban should be kosher. The fact that not holds that Rabbi Yeshua holds, shows that Rabbi Yeshua holds that Sitz helps only if the blood is Tameh, not the Chelev, not the meat. So we're back to, therefore, that Rabbi Yeshua says, so therefore, if Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need the tzitz in the first place, it's only going to help for the blood. That's not going to help in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with menachos where there's no blood. Namely, the Omer, where there's only a koimetz, which is in the place of blood, and there's no equivalent of chelev, of chelev versus basar over there. The shtei alechem, all the more so, because none of them go on the mizbeach. The lechem aponim, in fact, even more so, because the lachem aponim also nothing of it goes on the mizbeach. So we're still back to, do we have to say, therefore, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yeshua? Now, the premise of the question is, in other words, because first of all, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer, at least. And second of all, here we have a stop Mishnah. We'd like to assume that our Mishnah goes according to everybody. Ela la'olam Rabbi Yeshua, he must listen. No, so after all, we can answer that our Mishnah could go like Rabbi Yeshua's shita. The answer is you can distinguish between the Hatchila and the Yevin. Ki Amar Rabbi Yeshua Lachatchila. Rabbi Yeshua is only saying Lachatchila that you can't bring the dam if there's no basar. Diyeved loy. But b'diyeved, if you sprinkled the dam and there was no basar, then you would still say b'diyeved, the carbon is kosher. So then applying that to our Mishnah, we're talking about b'diyeved. Lachatchila, therefore, Rabbi Yeshua would be saying you can't bring the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, etc. b'tumah. But b'diyeved, if you did, then it's kosher and it accomplished what it needed to. So the Gemara says, "When not tamer to shani leiler b'yeshua ben lachatchila b'diavad." Where do we see this concept that Rabbi Yeshua would hold that there's a distinction between lachatchila and b'diavad? So the Tanya, we learned in a brisa, nitma baser, if the meat became tamei, oishin nifsal, or the meat became posel. For example, a tvur yoyin touched it, oishin yotza chutz lakloim, it was taken out of the courtyard, out of the chotzer of the Beis Mikdash, out of the azara. Rabbi Eliezer omer yizorek. Rabbi Eliezer says that. Rabbi Eliezer says that you can still sprinkle the blood, because again, he says it doesn't matter if there's no basar, you can still sprinkle the dam. Rabbi Yeshua in the lo yizorek, Rabbi Yeshua says you can't sprinkle it. Umoide Rabbi Yeshua shim zorak kurza. But Rabbi Yeshua does agree that if you sprinkled it, then b'diyevet, it works. So therefore, you see that Rabbi Yeshua makes a distinction between lachatchila and b'diyevet. However, the Gemara says still that doesn't work. Chodah de psula di'evet mashma. Number one, before we said, in the Mishnah from Menachos that we quoted about the case of the Mincha where the Shirayim became Tomei or burnt or what have you, we said Rabbi Yeshua said Psula. We can't say that Psula means Lachatchila versus B'dievet. The word Psula is Mashma even B'dievet. It's possible. Otherwise he wouldn't use the word Psula. He would say Lo Yakti or something to that effect. Saying Psula means the Mincha is possible and there's no way around it. And not only that, how can you say that our Mishnah is talking b'diavad, chamishad varim boyin, when it says five korbanos can be brought, lachatchila mashma. That means even lachatchila you're allowed to bring them b'tumah. Ela, like kasha, can be yochid, can be tzibur. Rather, what we can answer is, Rabbi Yeshua would distinguish between a korban of a yochid versus a korban of a tzibur. We're still going to stick, Rashi says, we're still going to stick with the answer that we're talking about lachatchila versus b'diavad. What we'll say is, Rabbi Yeshua would say, when it comes to a korban of a yochid, lachatchila it would be possible, but b'diavad, if we sprinkle the blood, then it will be acceptable. And the same thing if we brought the koimetz and so forth. The Mishnah is talking about tzibur, then you can do it lachatchila, because again, we would say that tumah hutra of a tzibur. Now, Tosfos doesn't like that explanation of Rashi, because then the Gemara should have clearly said that Rabbi Yeshua holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. So therefore, Tosfos understands differently. What it means is, fine, we're still going to stick with Rabbi Yeshua saying Tumah D'choya B'tzibur. But what we're going to say is like this. We're going to say that Minaraisa, that Sitz does help for Achilos, for the edible parts of the carbon as well. We tried that before. We shrugged that up because we said in that case, by the Mincha, why is it possible? Now we're going to say, on a Daraisa level, it does work. But Midrabbanon, we're not going to allow it in the case of a Yochid. So when we use the word psula, we're still going to mean lachatchila. So we still are using lachatchila versus bidyavet. By the tzibur, we're not going to make that zera in the first place, because after all, Tosfos says there is a distinction. A korban yochid, you can't bring the truma at all. A korban tzibur, you could. Therefore, there's reason to distinguish and say that by the yochid, we're going to make a zera, even though you have achilos over here, even though you have the shirayim are also, and even though the shirayim are tome, and even though on a deraisa level the tzitz would help with that, dirabbanan, we're not going to allow it. Therefore, we're going to say don't bring that korban to begin with, don't bring that koimetz to begin with, or don't sprinkle that blood to begin with. B'diavad, if you did, okay, look, the chachamim can't passel a korban, so therefore b'diavad it's kosher. By the tzibur, Tosfos says, we would not even make that zera l'hatchila. So therefore, by the tzibur, the Mishnah can be saying chamisha dvarim boyim, and it means l'hatchila, because by the tzibur, even l'hatchila, the chachamim are going to allow it, they're not going to make that zera in the first place. So we'll continue with this discussion tomorrow, and we're going to continue analyzing our Mishnah and discussing various other opinions of Tanoim as they relate to it. And we're also, in the course of that, we're going to understand that strange thing that Rabbi Yossi said how can he accept both Rabbi Yezu's opinion and Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? We're going to discuss that in the Gemara tomorrow as well.
That's the time. Good luck.